Mark 16, we're going to go and we're going to start reading in verse 15. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this this week, how you've spoken to us, Lord, in the morning meetings and the night meetings, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to us, Lord. As we come in another year, we've been doing this a long time. Lord, even before I even got here, even before you even saved me, Lord, you've been working in this church and just doing some just great things, Lord. And just help us this week, Lord, again, to get a fresh look at what you're doing. Lord, we can speak about missions, we can speak about what you're doing, Lord. And sometimes it just falls on deaf ears. Sometimes it's just, dull to us, Lord. But I just thank you. I thank you as I think about, the lives you've changed, not only in this place, Lord, but in Mexico and Poland, where I see pictures that, different folks, put up, Lord, and the things they speak about, Lord, it just makes my heart, just full of joy. And Lord, tonight I just ask that you just help me, Lord, to bring this message. Help me to give this message, Lord, to the church, and so we can look at the importance of this work, Lord, that we're involved in, this work that you've allowed us to be a part of, Lord, the privilege, Lord, that we have to take this message to a lost and dying world. Just thank you in Jesus' name, amen. And Mark 16 in verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs following." Amen. You know, today I just want to just briefly touch on Christ, on his work, and those he left behind. You know, this passage right here, you know, talking about the Lord, how he was raised, he met with these men, and then he sent them off to do a work. You know, the work that we're involved in, the work that I do, and I've been doing for a while, 28 years, been doing this, it's just amazing to me how lots of times I think it's a very hard work. I can't do the work. I'm powerless lots of times. But you know, I have great comfort in this last part where he says the Lord working with them.
Amen.
You know, that right there is what we have to remember when we are thinking about missions and thinking about doing our own evangelism, our own reaching out, the Lord working with them. You know, the Lord works with you. To me, that's just an incredible statement. You know, you can work for Fortune 500 companies, right? Like you can work for Dell, right? I like Dell. I don't have Dells anymore, but I like Dell. I like the story of Michael Dell. You know, you can work for the Dell company, but you don't work with Michael. Have you thought of that? You're not working with them. You know, you could work for him. You're probably making money for him, but you're not working with him. He's somewhere else. I don't know, Bahamas or somewhere. He's somewhere else doing his own thing, making his own ideas or whatever. He's working too, but he's not working with you. He's not walking us. I'm sure there's very few people, maybe less than, you know, we can count on our hand, that he actually sits down and walks with them and actually works with them. But you know, the Lord says right here, he works with you.
Amen.
Doesn't that get you excited? You know, when we read verses in the Bible where it says where two or three are gathered together, it says the Lord is with us right there. He is sitting down. He is right. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Creator? Could you imagine? Look, you and I don't have time for lots of stuff in this world. And when we look around in this room, we're nobody. Really, we are, I mean, some of us, I know I am, less than zero. But God says, I'm going to meet with you.
Amen.
I'm going to be with you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work through you. I'm going to let you see things that you're not going to even imagine. Wow. I've seen some incredible things. Things that I thought were impossible. The salvation of my family.
Amen.
Years. And then my mom and sister get saved. God working with me. When I think about the work, when I think about what Christ did, and he went to heaven, you know what the Bible says, that the Lord makes intercession for us? When you think about that phrase, he works with you. You know he's praying for you? Look what it says over there in John chapter 17. John 17 in verse 9. Look at these verses. It says, I pray for them. You know Jesus Christ prays for you?
Amen.
Doesn't that just, I mean, look, there's lots of people that I know pray for me. I know that. They've told me that. And I hope you pray for me. I hope you and as you know, there's quite a few here that I probably don't know very well, but as you get to know us and know what we do, me and Matthew there in Puebla, Mexico, I hope you pray or you help us pray for what we're doing down there. You want to come down and visit and see exactly what we do? Come on down. You know, I think it's a good idea for you to come down and see, especially if you invest in our work. You need to come down and make sure I'm not sipping on a margarita, you know, down there in the corner. And I don't. But come on down and see what God is doing down there in Mexico. You need to be a part of this. You know the one thing I love about Matthew's church? Very involved. Not only with telephone calls and texts, but they actually come down. And some of them have come this past year two or three times. They're just wasting money. You know? No, they want to come down and see and try to be a help. They want to work with us too. Jesus Christ says in this verse, I pray for them.
Amen.
He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Amen. Can you see how personal that is?
Amen.
I mean, look, you and I, we are not lovely people. You know, I mean, we're not. Really, if people really knew exactly who we were, they probably would not like us very much, right? We know how to put on a show, right? I think the longer we walk with Christ, and that's one of the things that really spoke to my heart when I got saved, wow, a long time ago, when I got saved 31 years ago, is I could let go of the facade,
right?
I didn't have to fake it no more. I didn't have to pretend or try to make people like me. No, you know what? I want to please God.
Amen.
I want to please the Lord. I want to walk after Him. And you know what? If you do that, if you follow Jesus Christ, if you do what He says, if you love Him like He loves you, just look at the words He says. He says here, I pray for them. He says, you have given them to me. He says, they are thine, they are yours, and you've given. He says in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Man, that verse was real, really, really real to me a year ago. You know? When God has taken care of us so much throughout these years, even those empty threats that we've had, you know, even before all this crazy cartel stuff. I mean, I remember, you know, being there in Morelia, you know, going to the open markets, getting fruit thrown at us. I mean, that was, you know, not that bad, I guess, you know, fruit. But you know, how about putting you in jail? How about sticking you in the back of a pickup and driving you down to jail and not knowing exactly how long you're going to be in there? That's a little scary. But you know what it says here? Yeah, he says right here, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. You know, I think God wants us in this world. Yeah, you hear some stories like Stephen. He wasn't in this world too long. He went out really fast. But so much came out of that. I mean, the gospel exploded. If you read over there in Acts 8, incredible. They were scattered all over the place. The gospel, that's how the gospel came to us.
Yeah. Amen.
Maybe they didn't understand it. Well, I know they didn't understand it. Some of them probably had a real problem with God. You know, we just picked this deacon. You know? We had a meeting. We picked some men. This was the best guy out of all of them. And then you kill him? No, but they couldn't see the big picture.
Right.
It says here, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You know, this world is not a good place. I think lots of us can attest to that. You know? It's not, I'm glad my hope is not here.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? I mean, you know, we can live in it, we can enjoy, you know, different things, but you can't trust it. Things can turn on a dime.
Yes.
Right? A couple years ago, you were paying under $2 in gasoline, right? Oh, those were the days. Right? Now, boom, double. Things can change really fast. But you know what doesn't change? God.
Amen.
His promises.
Amen.
What he's given to us, that doesn't change.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Look what it says. Look what it says in John 17. The one over. John 17. It says in verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus Christ left, and he left to work, and he left these guys in charge to finish the work. You know, the church, it's a very complicated thing. The saving of souls, very important, very complicated. And he gave it to you and I to do. To me, that's just amazing. And if you think about that, just the idea that we are responsible as the church, we have a responsibility to take the gospel to a dying world. It's too much. Until you get to that verse and says, I'll be working with you.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, yeah. Now it becomes so much more easier to carry.
Yeah.
He's working with you. All you have to do is give it over to him. You know, sometimes I think this work that we're part of, is there a way that you and I can know, is it possible that we can finish our work here? Is it possible to know that? When God, I mean, that we can actually live our life and finish what God has given us to do. And I think God has given each one of us something to do in the gospel, in this mission to save the world. He's given you something. Some of us go, some of us stay, but we're all doing, we have something to do in the gospel. Don't take your job or your talents. Menospreciar. Don't.
Despise.
What?
Underappreciate.
Okay. That's a good word. Yeah. Don't underappreciate what God has given you. But I think there's a way to know. I think we can know. 2 Timothy 4:6. Go there. 2 Timothy 4:6. Paul comes down to the end of his life, getting real close. And Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now I know you can say, well, Paul, he had a real, like, you know, an audible conversation, well, you know, with God. He really, you know that Paul sometimes got scared? And God had to tell him, don't fear. And one occasion he says, look, I got much people in this place. It's okay. I'm going to watch over you.
Amen.
You know, fear has a way of not allowing you to maximize in what God wants you to do. It freezes you up. I mean, you know, think about marriage. Man, 30 years is a long time. And you know, 30 years ago, I didn't think, oh man, I'm gonna be married to Karen 30 years. You know, I hope I get to 30 years. I hope I get to 40 years, 50 years. No, man. I was just like, wow, I love this woman. You know, let's go on our honeymoon. I was just happy. But it's been a long journey. You know, it's been a great journey. It's been awesome. Ups and downs, right? More ups and downs, but it, like in any relationship. You know, your walk with God, same thing. But I bet you, in the times where you're at your lowest, it's because you're fearing something. Maybe God is telling you, do something, step out on something, change something, lose some friends in your life, lose some relationships in your life, change some things in your life, and that fear comes in, oh, what if I do this, it's not going to turn out right. Well, that's in your mind. But God's saying it's going to be okay if I'm telling you to do it. I think there is a way for us to know. He says, I have fought a good fight. You need to examine yourself. How are you doing right now with the life God has given you? You can know if you are finishing, if you are doing your job, finishing the work of God. Look, if you're not saved, you need to get saved.
Yeah.
And once you're saved, you have a part in this work that God has. Look, when I tell you that God really found me, God really found me. I had no idea that I was lost. Right? I guess that makes me a whole lot lost, right? You and I have been in those situations, right? Where you're like, no, I'm not lost. And it's like, no, you are like really lost. You're going to get more lost the more you keep going, right? Look, God, when God found me and God gave me, God gave me that understanding that now I was his child and now I was in the family of God. Man, I was bursting out the seams. So happy. So glad. I was telling everybody what God had did. What God was doing. Examine yourself. You have to examine yourself. Paul says right here, I have fought a good fight. How are you fighting? He says here, I have finished my course. What is your course? What is God telling you to do? You know, lots of times when I talk to some people, especially, you know, they might be some Christians sometimes, they say, man, you know, I can't believe that you actually live in Mexico and you surrendered your life. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, it never makes me feel good. I'm just like, don't think I'm some kind of superhero. I am not. I wake up every other day thinking, Lord, I want to go back. You know? I do. I have to confess. At least once a year, I ask God, do you want me to go back? I do. Because I want to be in the place where God wants me. I want to finish my course.
Yeah.
And if it's in Mexico, and believe me, I love Mexico. With all its ups and downs, I love Mexico. I love where I'm at. I love living next door to Matt and Lauren. I love seeing my grandkids on a daily basis. I love that. Brent asked me today, hey, so now that Matt's been down there for 2 years, is he going to get up and leave you now? I said, look, I know he's Canadian, but he's got character. He's going to be with me. He's not going to abandon me. Come on. I'm an old guy. He's got to stick around with me. Look, I have no idea. I have no idea if God calls Matt to France. Yeah, yeah. If God calls him somewhere else, man, I'm going to be happy and very sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? I might just tag along. Who, you know, voo voo voo. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what kind of language I can learn? But you know, right now, I'm having a great time. I'm expecting God to do big things when we go back. I'm expecting that. We've been working on Northside for 1 year, and because of all this COVID stuff, it's been slow. Right? People are scared. And with everything else that's happening, it's just hard. When we go back, I think my idea, and I think Matt too, is we're just gonna go jump into this thing really hard, and we're just going to expect God to do big things. Amen. That's what we want. God, you have us here. We want you to work with us in this thing, and we want a church right here. Not for us, but to give glory to God.
Amen.
He says right here, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How is your faith doing right now? Have you kept the faith? Are you keeping the faith? You know, you can be in assembly, like our assembly here, and not be keeping the faith. You're just kind of like going through the routine. Look, I don't want to be doing that. I want to run my course. I want to finish my course. I want to keep the faith. I want to please God.
Amen.
You know, and I'm saying these things, and don't you think that this is me on a daily basis. No, sometimes I go through the routine too. Sometimes I just show up to church. Sometimes I'll just, you know, show up to the preaching. Sometimes I just, you know, okay, I guess we got to do this, and not even expecting big things. Maybe that's why we're not seeing big things, because we're not expecting God to do anything. It says here, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe? Paul is saying right here, look, my departure is at hand. He's saying, I have fought a good fight. And he's still fighting. I have fought it. He's still fighting. He goes, I finished my course. I know that my time is coming up. And you know, isn't that great? When you read the last chapter of Acts, God allowed Paul to stay in his own home, receiving people. They were coming to his house, and he was evangelizing people for 2 years before they cut off his head. I mean, that is so awesome. God was faithful to him all the way to the end, working with Paul. Look what it says here. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Oh, and I love the second part. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen.
You know, I hope we never quit having mission conferences.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because I think these conferences at least gives us an opportunity to look at what God is doing and wants to do in a fresh way.
Amen.
I think it's very important. Through a mission conference, God saved me. Through a mission conference, God called me. You know, God does things in these kind of meetings. And look, God does things in meetings. When the book is open, when the book is preached, you know, when I come to church, I want my pastors to give me as much as they possibly can give me to stir me up. I don't need somebody to be mushy and tell me stuff that I know is not true.
Right.
Tell me what I need to do. Sometimes we get upset at our pastors. Have you gotten upset at your pastors for how they preach and what they preach? Yeah. I get upset at them. I listen to them on YouTube. I was like, what's wrong with you? And then I think, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for telling me that. Thank you for bringing that to mind. Yeah, I need to change that. And John 4:34, talking about the work. Talking about what Jesus Christ has left us. I love the way he says it here. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
And to finish his work.
Amen.
Don't you find it interesting that he says my meat? In verse 8 of that same chapter, the disciples go and they try to find meat, right? Because they're hungry. Do you like going to the meat market? I love going to the meat market. Right? My wife cooks a great ribeye. You don't believe me? Come visit me in Mexico. I'll seek out a good piece of meat, really marbled, and I'll have my wife cook it up for you. But you gotta come to Mexico. Listen, he goes out and he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Why does he choose meat? You know, food, and I don't really like food very much, as you can tell. Don't like food. But food is pleasant, right? Food is something that wakes us up a little bit. You know, when I think about Texas, I think about Terry Black in Austin. You guys ever been there? Terry Black's? A barbecue place? Never? You should go. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. But you think about food and it, at least me, it wakes me up. I get excited, you know? I'm certain foods, right? Papaya, not so much, right? But certain foods, have you ever had, and this is funny to me because I only had this one time up here, but Matt, when we were coming down 2.5 years ago, and we stopped at a place to, you know, spend the night, and Matt sees a light on at a Krispy Kreme, right? Do you know about this? When the light comes on, they're fresh or whatever, they're hot, whatever. I'm thinking, Matt, come on, are you serious? A donut? No, Dad, you gotta try it. Let's stop. All right. Whew. Pull in. Walk in there. As soon as you walk in there, the guy gives you a hot Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Oh my. It's just butter and it melts. You know what? That woke me. And I'm not a donut guy, really. I don't, sweets, not my thing. But if that light's on and I see it and I don't look for it, but if I see, I guarantee you I'm going to be pulling in. He uses that word or that illustration. My meat is to do the will of my Father. And he uses it, I think for me, I think for you, because we get excited about food. You imagine the disciples walking? I don't know. Maybe they had some extra money. They're going, man, we're finally going to get some meat. It's been corn. It's been vegetables. It's been, man, we've been eating grass. I'm hungry. But today we're going to get meat. And Jesus is there at the well. Say, yeah, meat's good. It's okay. But the meat I'm going to eat right now? Sharing the gospel with this lady? That got him excited. You know, the work of God should get us excited.
Amen.
If it doesn't get you excited, if it's not doing it for you, then the problem is not with the gospel. The problem is not with the work that we've been given to do. The problem is with you.
Amen.
Fix what's wrong with you. Fix what's wrong with me. Well, not you, me, but me. Right? Look what else he says. In John 5:17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. You know, Jesus' ministry was what? 3.5 years? He didn't have very much time. Our time is limited. Yeah, you know, Christ knew how long he had. He knew exactly the moment he was going to give himself up. Yes. Paul, I think he might have had a little bit of an idea when his last day was going to be here, at least pretty close. You know, I reckon when you're locked up in Rome in a house, you can pretty much just say, I'm on my way out. But you and I, you have no idea. How much time do you have? I don't know how much time I have. Right? The Lord come back today, right? We don't know how much. Our time is limited. What are you going to do? How are you going to finish your course? How are you going to end your life as a believer?
Amen.
If you only have a few more years, if you only have a 1 week, if you only have whatever you have, how are you going to finish it?
Amen.
I don't want to, look, there's tons of things you could be doing, tons of things. And most of the things that you could probably do are probably fun and there's nothing wrong with them. But while you're doing those things, you need to be busy doing the work of the Lord. Right? The people that pump gas need salvation too. The people you buy bait from need salvation too. Right? The camping areas, you know, that you go to this summer, they need salvation too. You can be given the gospel out wherever you are.
Amen.
And that should excite you. It shouldn't be a burden on you. It should be something like, okay, I gotta do my quota. I gotta give out my 20 tracts today. It shouldn't be that way. It should, God, I get to do this.
Amen. Yes.
I get to pass out a tract. I get to look for opportunities. Look for doors that open.
Yeah.
You know that God opens doors?
Amen.
You know, if you, and when you do, when you pray for me, and when you pray for Matt, I think, if I can suggest to you, use Colossians 4 to pray for us. You know, I think it's something there's a lot of key phrases in there, a lot of things that he mentions there in Colossians 4, 1 through 6. The first thing he says is open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. That's what you need to be asking.
Amen.
You're going on vacation this week, next week? In 15 days and in a month, you're going to go visit Corey and Magda next year or this year or, you know, whatever. It'd be a good prayer. Lord, starting right now, I want you to open doors. Help me walk in wisdom. Right? Help me redeem the time. That our speech be always with grace. That our speech is seasoned with salt. You know, we need it. We can't look. The gospel is such a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I know for years and probably a whole bunch of times people talk to me. I've thought about this so much. I know I was evangelized. I know I was.
Amen.
Every time I go to my hometown, every time I go to my mom's church, the church that I remember going there as a young man, because they'd invite me there to these things, these events they had, and I just pretty much said, what's on the menu? And if I liked it, I went. You know, what are we going to be doing? Oh, that sounds like fun. Let me go. But I guarantee you, people gave me the gospel there. I couldn't tell you what they said, how they said it, but one day it clicked. Amen. One day, somebody gave me the gospel, and I got saved.
Amen.
And that person who gave me the gospel here in San Antonio walked in to other people's labors. I have lots of people in my life. I can think of three or four people right now back in my hometown, who still have a good testimony with me right now. My English teacher, my seventh grade English teacher, who is with the Lord, been with the Lord for a long time. She played the piano in that church. She made me memorize Psalm 23 in school. It was part of our homework, our task to do. I mean, so many things that I can remember through my life, how God used people and gave open doors to evangelize. The work that we have is a tremendous thing.
Amen.
Another verse before we continue, because I think the verse that we started off there in Mark 16 gives us a way to be involved in this work. But one more thing that I want to say. Look what it says in 17. Go back to John. 17:4. So many things I'd like to say. 17:4. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know what your job and what my job as a believer? Glorify the Lord in this earth.
Amen.
And again, if you look through this, just do a word search, the work of Christ so many times, especially in this book, we have a work to do.
Yeah.
And it really isn't that complicated.
Right.
If you think about these men and women that Jesus taught for 3.5 years. I love that over there in John chapter 1, where a couple of his disciples ask Jesus, where do you live? And what was his answer? Come and see. Come and see. That was a good answer. Nathaniel told his brother that. Man, we found the Christ. Who is this guy? Where's he from? Come and see. Come and see. Go back to Mark 16. I'll say a few things about it and close it out. Mark 16. Talking about this work in verse 20. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You know, the first thing I want to say is it's a collective responsibility to finish the work. Right? Look what it says there. It says in verse 20, and they, not some. It says, and they. You know, we all have a part.
Amen.
Right? Every single one of us. Now, obviously, we don't have all the same opportunities. Man, you know what? Like I mentioned, if you go back there in Acts chapter 8, it says that whenever Stephen was killed and they buried him, as soon as they buried Stephen, they were scattered abroad.
Yeah.
Look, they didn't all have churches like you and I have. Man, I sit You know what a pretty good seat is in this church? Just to let you know, I figured it out right over there in that area. It gets very cold over there. Real cold. Not all of us have this. Over there in Mexico, we meet in a park now. On the south side, we have a building that, praise the Lord, we had to knock down the back wall because we need more room.
Amen.
That's a good thing. That's a real good thing. But now, you know, we've moved to the north side. We're in a park. You know what parks have? Mosquitoes. You know what parks don't have in Mexico? Bathrooms. When I was young, oh man, 28 years ago, no problem. I can wait till I go home. When you're older, oh, you need a bathroom. On Sundays, there's a coffee shop right there, right next to the park. They're closed on Sundays. So me and Matt, we asked them, can we rent you guys for 2 hours? And they agreed. So now we have, at least on Sundays, we have for 2 hours, we have bathrooms, and they give us coffee, and they give us some cookies, and we have a good time there on Sundays. Wednesdays, we like, Matt, hurry up, we need to get home. Look, it's a collective thing. This, to finish this work, we all need to be involved. The second thing, if you read verse 20, it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The second thing, not only is it collective, because I need you to be praying for me. Right? You know what I need to hear? I need to hear also that God is doing something here, because that encourages me. When I came in this week, when I came in on Monday, you know, Wednesday night, where more people showed up, and I started seeing some people that I don't even know. I'm thinking, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
We were in New York a couple weeks ago for their mission conference. And I was there 2.5 years ago. And a lot of people, well, I say a lot of people, a good amount of people were not present at the meetings. Not because they're backslidden, but because God is given them another opportunity to start a church in New Jersey. And so some families have gone to New Jersey. Well, you get families who are workers in a church, who are actually doing something and love the Lord and are preaching and are teaching and are caring for the church, and all of a sudden they leave. That's pretty tough. But you know what I saw? A lot of new people. They had a lot of people in their church. I was thinking, wow, look what God is doing. That encourages me. You know what God's doing there? God is working with them.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
I want God to work with me.
Yeah.
I want God to work with you.
Amen.
It's collective, but it's a work that's progressive. It says they went forth, right? They didn't go backwards. They went forth. And what did they do? They preached. You know, there's no substitute for preaching the Word of God.
That's right.
You have to preach the Bible. You know what I like about the brothers from New York when they come down and visit, and they visit for a long time? They love their Bible. When we go up there, or this couple weeks ago when we went up there, but every time I've been up there, before they go out to street ministry, you know what they do? They open the book. And they sit around and they read. Oh, we're going to read this chapter. And they go around the room and they read the Word of God. And then they fellowship over the Word of God. Anybody see anything in here? A lot like our open meeting. They talk about it. They bathe themselves with that communion with God before they go out. You know, it's nothing magical. It's walking with God.
Yeah.
It's loving God. It's wanting God to be working with us. It's collective. It's progressive. Another thing, the response they had. It was very quick. What does he say there? He says they went. They didn't think about it. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus told them, go. Right? And what do? Pause. Oh, wait, hang on. We still got another fishing trip scheduled, right? Hang on. I have to put that last addition in my house so I can sell it and then I can go. No. He says, they went. Very quick response. When you think about it, they were obedient and they preached the word of God. No substitute for that. But who did it? Who did the preaching? Only the men? Look what it says over there in Acts. Just real quick. Go with me to Acts. Keep your finger right there because we're going to come right back to it. But Acts chapter 8. Look what it says here in verse 3. Here Saul goes out and he's going to start the persecution of the church. He says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. You know who was doing the preaching? And by preaching, I mean giving out the word of God, right? I'm not talking about holding an office. They didn't have women pastors. They didn't do any of this stuff. We don't do any of this stuff. But let me tell you, everybody can preach the gospel.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about staying up in a loud voice. I know that's preaching. All right. I know that's when we say, you know, preaching on the streets, that's what preaching is. It's not holding up a sign. It's not giving out a tract. If we're going to preach on the street, it's going to be in a loud voice and we're going to raise our voice and we're going to be teaching the word of God. That's street preaching. But they went out preaching. These women in the early church were sharing the gospel. The men were sharing the gospel. I want to dare say the young people were sharing the gospel. It took off. You had one or two things that could have happened after the death of Stephen. It could all just died. You have Paul who had authority to put people in prison and torture them and kill them. And you know what they decided to do? We're going to go preach the gospel. Why do you think they did that? Well, possibly because those 120 that were there waiting for the gift of the Holy Ghost, they remembered that Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It was not only a collective thing, a progressive thing. We see the response was very quick. They were obedient. Well, look what it says there. And also in verse 20, they went everywhere.
Amen.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Not only on Saturdays when you have Operation San Antonio. And that's a good thing. You know, passing out tracts, leaving invitations on doors. Wow.
Amen.
When I first met these guys from New York 20 years ago, whenever they first invited us down there a long time ago, when Mike met Brother Lindo for the first time and they invited us to go down there and street preach in New York, I noticed they all had, or a bunch of them had scripture signs. And I'm thinking, that's kind of silly. You know, why don't they just preach? And they did preach. We got out there on the platforms. We got out there on New York City streets. But they had these signs. And you know what I noticed when I was out there? I'm really observant sometimes. I started looking at these people holding these signs. And the people walking by probably didn't. Those that don't want to take our track. Those that don't want to talk to us. You know, it's very hard for you not to read something. It's funny. They're walking by. No, I don't want anything. But they're glancing at the Bible verse, right? And you see some of them. They like don't want to do it. They're like, you know, I don't see that. But they saw it. They already saw it. They already read something, a phrase. Oh, we like to pick really, really good verses sometimes there in Mexico to get their attention. And you know why? They're not going to get away from it. God's word is. Is very hard sometimes.
Yeah.
They went everywhere preaching the gospel. He says, go. And the last thing, ended with this, and what I started my message, God working for us. That's what I want. That's what we need to desire. And you know, when we think about the work being so hard and so big, and it is, it's an impossible work. When he says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, how are you going to do that?
Right.
It's impossible. I know English and Spanish and maybe not good either one. How am I going to preach to a Chinese? How am I going to go and give somebody, how am I going to do that? Well, you know what? I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because it's a collective thing. We have churches in a whole bunch of different nations, in a whole bunch of different countries. You know what? If we all do our part, I think we can go and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about doing everything. San Antonio does not have to worry about doing everything. You know what? We have to do what God has given us to do.
Amen.
And understand this. Know this. Don't forget this. What does he say there at the end? The Lord working with them.
Amen.
You might show up at the point meeting place and your partner doesn't show up. That's happened sometimes, you know? Your partner doesn't show up for whatever reason. And you were supposed to go preaching and you're supposed to go passing out tracts. That's fine. But you know who's there with you?
Yeah.
The Lord working with you. He ain't gonna fail you. One of the best comments that Bill told me when we were working down there in Mexico, because I mean, fear is a big problem with me. You know, I know I look like, you know, Goliath over here. but you know, fear is crippling, and fear is something that can really hold you back. And in those marketplaces, there were ugly people. And I remember Bill telling me one time, look, when you preach, imagine Jesus in the crowd. Man, that was good. When I get fear is coming up, I say, you know what? Who's here with me?
Amen.
The Lord's with me.
Yep.
Ain't nothing gonna happen. And if it does happen, that's all right. He's going to be right here holding my hand through the whole thing, right? Don't forget that, church. The Lord working with
Amen.
Us.
Amen?
Amen.
Good.